time of worship we've had already this morning. A couple of really neat things that have happened. I don't know if you noticed it, but we had a visitor up here coming down from the ceiling. There was a spider that was like, I need to get in on this Jesus worship thing because I can guarantee you that spider knows who the Creator is. And it heard our singing. It was like, I'm all in on that. And so that was good. Hopefully Charlotte doesn't come back to visit us here anytime soon. If so, Jay, maybe you need to jump up here and grab him. And then really neat time to be able to worship together through baptism. And Josh's problem was he looked at Adam before he started. I don't know why. I know not to do that. And so that was the problem. But what a sweet time that we've had already this morning. Turn with me, if you would, to Mark chapter 13. Mark chapter 13. We have been walking verse by verse through the life of Jesus as told by the Gospel of Mark. And this morning we're coming to a section as we're looking at end times, at prophecy, of probably, if you're a visitor, it's your first time here, not the one that you thought you were going to walk in on. We're going to talk about being persecuted today. This is not the one that we put on the billboard. This is not the one we advertise like, hey, y'all come down to the Baptist church because we get persecuted here. I mean, it's great, you know. But that's just where we're at in Scripture. And so would you stand with me this morning in honor of the reading of the Word of God, Mark chapter 13, starting in verse 9. Jesus said this, "But you be on your guard. They will hand you over to local courts, and you'll be flogged in the synagogues. You will stand before governors and kings because of me as a witness to them. And it is necessary that the gospel be preached to all nations. So when they arrest you and hand you over, don't worry beforehand what you will say, but say whatever is given to you at that time, for it isn't you speaking, but the Holy Spirit. Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child. Children will rise up against parents and have them put to death. You will be hated by everyone because of my name, but the one who endures to the end will be saved." Father, as we look into your word this morning, I pray that you would speak truth to our hearts. Help us to understand. Help us to know you this morning like never before. And may we walk out of here changed for your honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Now, as we've come to this section on end times. So we talked last week a little bit about, well, one of the things that happens with prophecy that we have to be careful of is that prophecy can actually have multiple fulfillments. It can have a short-term fulfillment, and it can have a longer-term fulfillment. And we see that here in this passage because Jesus was definitely speaking to the apostles. And if you look at all in church history, one of the things that you'll see is that every single one of the apostles, except for John, was killed because of their faith. Every single one of them. And so that was a short-term fulfillment. But also there's a longer-term, because this applies to all in the church. And we're going to look at that more in just a minute. And it applies certainly in the end times. And so, as I kind of said earlier, this is not one that you really think about, man, if I could study anything, I want to study how we can be persecuted some more. I think that'd be really great. We sometimes like to come to Scripture, and we like to walk away feeling good about ourselves. And the truth of the matter is, sometimes we come to Scripture, and we recognize what Paul says, that we are the chief of sinners. Sometimes we look at Scripture, and we walk away and say, man, what Scripture says, what God says about who I should be and who I really am, they're not the same thing. And I should feel negatively about it. I should feel bad about that because I'm not living up to God's standard. And sometimes we come to Scripture, and we look at things like this and say, oh, man, this could be us. Now, this morning, we don't have much of a threat of the police here in Springville of walking in here and arresting us all because we're gathering to worship the name of Jesus. But that is not true everywhere in the world. And it might not be true here very, very much longer. But we want to look at just three things this morning, and we'll be finished as we look at this passage. The first thing that we need to look at is this idea that we need to be prepared. We need to be ready for persecution. Look at verse 9. Jesus said, "But you be on your guard. They will hand you over to local courts, and you will be flogged in the synagogues." Now, you need to notice the concrete language here. He doesn't say this might happen. He doesn't say theoretically in some parts of the world at some time maybe this could take place. He said you will. You will. It is very concrete. It is very solid. And this is not persecution because of our wrongdoing, but persecution because of our belief in Jesus Christ. It's not because I've done something wrong and then I have to pay for it. It's because I follow the name of Jesus. I think I shared with you a couple weeks ago that apparently I was speeding recently. And yesterday I had to spend 4 hours in a driving class. And it was special. We'll just leave it at that. All right. Because of the wrong that I did, I had to go and pay more money than I wanted to, and I had to go to this class and take up time that I didn't want to. I had to do all those things because of the wrong I did. That's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about I did something wrong and we get punished. We're talking about we follow Jesus and persecution comes. We have to be prepared. Be on your guard. What he says there is we need to be ready for it. We need to be ready for it. In fact, Paul said this to Timothy in 2 Timothy. And by the way, this is such an incredible passage because if you think about what's happening, first of all, Paul's relationship with Timothy was this incredible, special discipleship relationship. It was a father-son relationship, not physically, but spiritually. And there was so much love there between the two of them. And Paul wanted to see Timothy grow and flourish in the Lord. That was his desire. And so at the end of his life, he wrote him these two different books that we have in our Bible. We call them the pastoral epistles. And that just basically means that Paul was writing to Timothy as a pastor and saying, hey, this is how you need to be. And this is what he says in 2 Timothy chapter 3. But you have followed my teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, patience, love, and endurance, along with the persecutions and sufferings that came to me at Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, what persecutions I endured, and yet the Lord rescued me from them all. In fact, all who want to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. We need to stop right there for a second. Look at what he says. He says, listen, you've done well because as I've been teaching you and training you, you have grown in the faith and you followed my teachings. You followed the way that I've lived. You've imitated me as I imitate Jesus Christ. You've walked these roads with me. You've served with me. And that's really great. But also you've been walking through these persecutions with me. And by the way, if anyone wants to be obedient in Jesus Christ, they will suffer persecution. Now this, again, is concrete language. This is not hyperbole. This is not maybe, maybe not. This is a definitive statement. Now, we live in a country where we enjoy incredible religious freedom. But that doesn't mean that people always love us because we love Jesus. In fact, I don't know if you've noticed this or not, but the longer time goes, the more they hate us. The more we get further away from Jesus' first coming and closer to his second coming, they don't like us even more and more and more. And sometimes we look around our world and say, oh, I can't believe where we're at. How did we get this far? We're a Christian nation. That's another story for another time, but no, we're not. Okay, let's just leave it at that and move on. We had some good values and some good things, but we're not a Christian nation. In fact, we're very far, far away from being a Christian nation. In fact, all major Protestant denominations are declining and have been declining for years, for decades. You know why? Because people hate us because we follow Jesus. Now, like I said, we don't have to worry about right now the police coming in here, the army coming in here, and taking us off to jail. That's not the case right here, right now. But that doesn't mean there isn't persecution. And so he goes on in verse 13, he says, evil people and imposters will become worse, deceiving and being deceived. Does that sound like our world today? Listen, sometimes we go and we think that the Bible's out of touch. This is literally describing our world today. It's getting worse. But as for you, continue in what you've learned and firmly believed, You know those who taught you, and you know that from infancy you have known the sacred scriptures, which are able to give you wisdom for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. And so we see Paul here, he says, listen, it's going to get worse, but you need to stay strong. You need to be prepared. We say, how do I get prepared for persecution? Do I have to go out and let a bunch of people just beat me up every once in a while so I toughen up a little bit? No. Look at those last two verses. You know what we do a lot of times? We take scripture out of context and we miss the actual meaning of it. This whole section right here is one paragraph, one kind of statement. And here's what he's saying at the end as he's talking about persecution. He's saying we have to be focused on knowing that all of Scripture is good for us to grow and to be ready and to see things happen in our lives. The Word of God is that which is essential for life and for preparing us for persecution. The more we spend time with Jesus, the more ready we are for what's coming next. The more that we dig into His Word and know it, the more we are ready. We prepare for the coming persecution by spending time with Jesus now. Every day. Every day. Spending time with Jesus. Reading, studying, reflecting, meditating on, memorizing, worshiping. The more we do that, the more we're ready for what's next and we can be prepared. Number two, we need to be a witness. Be prepared, be a witness. Look at verses, the end of verse 9 through 11. It says, you will stand before governors and kings because of me as a witness to them. And it is necessary that the gospel be preached to all nations. So when they arrest you and hand you over, don't worry beforehand what you will say, but say whatever is given to you at that time, for it isn't you speaking, but the Holy Spirit. Notice here the command to witness. Notice this command. A witness is simply someone who recounts the truth to others. If you've ever been called to be a witness in a court case, you simply have to go and explain what you saw, what you heard, what you experienced. You're just testifying about what has gone on. And so what we see here is that in the midst of persecution is the best time to be a witness. The theologian Tertullian in 197 AD said this, the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. And what he was saying was simply this, when we have people that face persecution, what we see time and time and time again in those areas is not the church diminishing, but the church increasing. We don't see the gospel light flickering out. We see it growing brighter and stronger. By the way, do you know right now we're one of the fastest growing churches in the world? China. You know what they don't like in China? Christians. That's not a coincidence. That's not a coincidence at all. And look what Jesus said there in verse 10. And it is necessary that the gospel be preached to all nations. Now, there are two correct interpretations of this verse. The first is a command. Jesus commanded us that even in the face of persecution, we are to be a witness. Even in the midst of what is going on that is wrong and that is hard, the gospel must be preached. It must go out. So even if they are arresting us and torturing us and persecuting us, that we still must go on for the gospel. It is a command. But the second thing we see here is actually an explanation. It's an explanation. Jesus told us that persecution is necessary for the spread of the gospel. It is necessary that the gospel be preached to all nations. What's necessary? The persecution. You say, where do you get that from? Well, look in the book of Acts, chapter 11. It says this, now, those who had been scattered as a result of the persecution. Stop right there for a second. This is going to be really a difficult question, okay? So I want you to think hard about this. Why were the people scattered? What? Because of the persecution, right? So the reason that they went out from Jerusalem was because of the persecution in Jerusalem. You know how I figured that out? I read the Bible. All right, I put it on the screen right there for you. Hopefully y'all can figure that out too, okay? And so it says they were scattered as a result of the persecution that started because of Stephen and made their way as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except Jews. But there were some of them men from Cyprus and Cyrene who came to Antioch and began speaking to the Greeks, also proclaiming the good news about the Lord Jesus. And the Lord's hand was with them, and a large number who believed turned to the Lord. Here we see something incredible happening. What did Jesus say in the Great Commission? He said, go into all the world. Matthew 28. In Acts chapter 1, he said, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Now, as humans, what is one of the things that we hate? Change, right? Going somewhere new. I don't mean like on vacation or something like that, but we don't want to move somewhere we don't know other people. If you go back to the book of Genesis, there was this incredible thing that happened. It was a worldwide flood because the people had gotten so evil that God actually hated the fact that he had created mankind. And he's like, I'm going to wipe them out, Noah and his kids. That's all that's staying. Everyone else, gone. By the way, you know, Noah was like a couple hundred years old. Like his sons were kind of a couple hundred years old. So that means that there were family members of theirs that didn't make it onto the ark. That's pretty rough when you think about it. God saves them, puts his rainbow in the clouds, promises never to destroy the earth in that way again. And then what did he say? He said the same thing he said to Adam and Eve. Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. And so the people, what did they do? They said, hey, you know what? Let's go and make a really neat city and let's make a big tower so that we can have this accomplishment here and we can kind of have our own little place and we're going to make this tower as a place of worship and we're going to make it reach up to the heavens. And God was like, it's not really what I meant when I said, go and fill the earth. I didn't mean fill one place. So he sent something. What was it? Confusion of languages. Thanks a lot, bunch of sinners. Now we have to go through like Google Translate and everything to talk to people around the world. Same thing here. The church in Jerusalem was growing and people were getting saved. And look at it, in the early parts of Acts, we see this incredible growth where literally thousands of people are coming to Christ. And where did they go? Jerusalem. And it is necessary. What is it? Persecution. It is necessary that the gospel be preached to all nations. We have to understand that persecution is going to come. But the truth of the matter is that any one of us can be excited about God when everything is going well. Man, this morning, it's been a good morning already, hasn't it? The donuts were fresh. The coffee was hot. Josh managed to make it through most of the baptism. We had great worship this morning. It's easy when we come into the church house to be excited about God, isn't it? By the way, you know that's one of the reasons we come here, is we get charged up, we get excited about God so that we're launched back out into ministry. We come here to catch that passion, that fire. It's kind of like this. If you've ever made a campfire and you have all those pieces of wood and they're burning there and you take one of those logs and you take it out and place it over here, what happens really quickly to that log? Fire goes out on it. You pick that log up and put it back in the fire. What happens? It catches back on fire. This is the fire right here. This is the place where we can come together and say, oh man, this is great. So it's easy for us to come together and be excited about God when everything's going well, when we're not facing persecution, when we're able to come in and we get our seat and our favorite donut and all of those sort of things. But look at what happened in the book of Acts chapter 16. By the way, my voice, I apologize, it's going out. I'm hoping to make it all the way through, but we never know. We might have to finish up with miming or something. I'm not sure. And what we have here is we have Paul and Silas, and they go And they're in the city there, and they're preaching the gospel there to the Philippians, and we see that they get upset. The people get upset, and so they beat them and they throw them in jail. And we see that in Acts chapter 16, excuse me, starting in verse 20, it says, bringing them before the chief magistrates, they said, that's the people there in the city, these men are seriously disturbing our city. They are Jews and are promoting customs that are not legal for us as Romans to adopt or practice. The crowd joined in the attack against them, and the chief magistrates stripped off their clothes and ordered them to be beaten with rods. That does not sound like fun to me. Like, in a couple weeks we're going to axe throwing, guys. That sounds like fun. Being beaten with rods, not fun. Just want to make that clear for everybody. After they had severely flogged them, they threw them in jail, ordering the jailer to guard them carefully. Receiving such an order, he put them in the inner prison and secured their feet in stocks. Not a really nice place. Usually it was some kind of cave or dugout place down in the ground. Lots of rats and bats and no facilities and no food down there. And they're in the stocks, all right? So far, not fun. Everybody tracking with me on that? About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. This is how I know that Paul was an apostle and Brad isn't. Right here. They're beaten severely. They're thrown into prison. They're secured in stocks. Not a lot of fun. They're down there. It's pitch black. At midnight, what are they doing? Hey, y'all, let's have a Bible study. Get the band out. Let's start singing. And they do that. And what we see there's an earthquake, and everyone's freed, but they all stay there because they were listening to Paul and Silas singing and praying, and the jailer comes in, and he says this incredible thing, and he says in verse 30, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." And what we have here is we have this moment when the jailhouse became the church house. Because it didn't matter where they were. It mattered that they had a relationship with Jesus. It didn't matter if the circumstances were great, if the spider was coming down from the ceiling, or the band was really good, or anything like that. Those things didn't matter. They had Jesus, and they were ready. They were ready. They were being a witness. And as soon as the moment came, what did they do? Hey, we know we're beat up down here and we're in this place, but you just need to believe in Jesus. They were a witness in the midst of persecution. And I love verse 11 here. It tells us, Jesus said, the Holy Spirit will give the words to say. Look at verse 11 of Mark 13. So when they arrest you, by the way, see that word when? Again, concrete language. When they arrest you and hand you over, don't worry beforehand what you will say. But say whatever is given to you at that time, for it isn't you speaking, but the Holy Spirit. Now listen, in order for this to happen, we have to be in God's Word now. Otherwise, it's kind of like this. Dear God, help me to get a really good grade on this test that I didn't study for. How many of you in school, hopefully none of our students, how many of you in school prayed something like that? God, I wasn't paying attention, but I really need a good grade, so help me to remember something I've never heard before. Right? We've all been there. That Josh is the first one to throw his hands up. All right, dilly dilly. All right, and so what we see here is that in order for us to be able to say and speak the words of God, we have to be in the Word of God, right? We prepare to be a witness under persecution by being a witness now. In a couple of months, our missions team is heading to London for our first kind of foray into our mission field there. And we're excited about that. And you might be excited about that too. There might be a number of reasons why you're excited about that. And you might think, I can't wait to get over there and tell people about Jesus. Listen, if you're not doing it here, you're not going to do it there. If you're not preaching the gospel now, you're not going to preach it under persecution. I love picking up books like Fox's Book of Martyrs, or D.C. Talk wrote a book a number of years ago called Jesus Freaks, going through and recounting stories of those who were persecuted and kept their faith and were able, even in the midst of some incredibly difficult times and incredibly strenuous times, that they were able to continue to preach the gospel. You know why that was able to happen? Because they were already doing it. They were already in the Word of God. They were already witnessing. We have to be a witness. Number three, betrayed. Look there in those last two verses of this section of Mark 13. Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child. Children will rise up against parents and have them put to death. You will be hated by everyone because of my name, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. Notice here the consequences of faith in Jesus. Look at that verse 13, man. You will be hated by everyone. How encouraging is that on a Sunday morning? Thanks for coming to church. Everyone's going to hate you. There's a ministry. It's an incredible ministry called Voice of the Martyrs. And if you want to, I don't want to say waste time because it's not a waste of time, but if you have time to kill, go on YouTube and go to the Voice of the Martyrs channel. Be ready to be pretty upset about some of the stuff that we see around the world that's happening simply because people name the name of Jesus. We're going to watch this video right now of the story of what's happening in Tibet. So let's watch this video together.
Me of believing in an evil spirit. It was very difficult for me when I became a Christian. My brother's a monk. My sister's a Buddhist nun. Others in my family hold even higher positions in the religion. They have often attacked my faith. I always pray for my family. I believe that God can change them. I certainly cannot. I believe in my God, the God of the Bible. He is almighty, so I have hope for my family. If the government knows that we are gathering together to practice Christianity, we could have big trouble. So we must meet in secret, very quietly and carefully, always in groups of less than 20 people. I have not reached out to people as much as I want to. I'm afraid sometimes. I often feel like a coward. I want to be more bold.
Notice what we see here from this video, from this testimony. They're called betrayers or traitors because they're Christians. They're told that they believe in an evil spirit because they're Christians. This lady, by the way, that was not her name, and you notice they didn't show her face. Her brother, her sister have attacked her faith. Her parents have offered to pay her to renounce her faith. The government persecutes them if they find them in meetings of church groups. They can't meet in more than 20 people at a time because they'll draw attention to themselves. There are no churches, only small groups. And so what does she do? She prays and she says, I'm afraid and I feel like a coward because I haven't reached out as much as I want to. She could be in prison. She could lose her life for sharing the gospel. What's our excuse? When's the last time the police have shown up because you wanted to tell someone about Jesus? You worried just about hurting someone's feelings or scaring them off? Where are you going to scare them to? Hell number two? They're already on the path to hell. What we have to remember is that everyone is going to hate us. We have incredible opportunity and freedom here to tell people about Jesus whenever we want. Whenever we want. Look at what Jesus said about people hating us. It said, if the world hates you, understand that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. However, because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of it, the world hates you. Remember the word I spoke to you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours. But they will do all these things to you on account of my name, because they don't know the one who sent me. You know what we see here? We see here in the end of Mark 13:13, the one who endures to the end will be saved, that endurance is a mark of salvation. It's not the basis of salvation, but it's a mark of salvation. And we might think, man, I could never make it through that persecution. You pick up Fox's Book of Martyrs and see some of the things that people went through and say, I could never do that. But listen, we can. When we spend time with Jesus now, when we're a witness now, when we're prepared now, when we're ready for it now, then God will walk us through because of our faithfulness to Him. The stronger our relationship with the Lord is now, the stronger it will be in persecution. Now listen, there are some people out there who are big-time negative Nancys, and they just say, listen, in 5 years, the whole church in America is going to be corrupt, and the whole place, everyone's going to come and persecute us and all that sort of stuff. That might happen, but I don't think it's going to be in 5 years. But it could be in our lifetime. And what if God calls you to that place around the world somewhere as a missionary where they hate Christian, they hate Jesus? I pray that God does call us to those places. You know why we're going to London? Because some of those places we can't get into, but if we go to London and we can reach the people who come from those places, they can go back with the gospel. London is a global city. By the way, London's just the first step, church. It's just our first step. But what if God calls you somewhere as a missionary? And I pray that He does call many from our church out there. You've heard me say it before. It matters less about our seating capacity than it does about our sending capacity. We prepare to be hated and betrayed by remembering that Jesus was first hated and betrayed. We prepare to endure by deepening and strengthening our faith now. Just one takeaway this morning, we're going to be finished. Simply this: persecution because of my faith is a real thing. It's lurking around the corner. Am I ready? You know who can answer that question? You. Not me, not your deacon, not your Connect Group teacher. You. You know how we get ready? We spend time with Jesus now. We share the gospel now. Now listen, we might, in our lifetimes of everyone in here, we might not face persecution in our country at all. That doesn't mean we shouldn't be ready for it. That doesn't mean we shouldn't be spending time with Jesus now. We need to be prepared to spend time with Jesus. We need to be a witness. We need to tell others about Jesus. We need to recognize that we might be betrayed, that we're going to suffer persecution like Jesus. Would you pray with me? Father, this morning, we looked at one of those not-so-fun passages. We looked at one of those passages where we're not necessarily going to walk out of here feeling all warm and fuzzy. But I'm grateful that you're a God who cares enough about us to tell us the truth. And the truth is that because the world hated you, it will hate us. Lord, help us to be ready. Help us to be prepared. Help us to be witnesses so that when we are betrayed, we're ready for it. God, I pray for each of us here that even just watching this video of this young woman in Tibet, that we would be challenged and encouraged and emboldened to share our faith more. I pray that we would recognize that it is our duty, it is our responsibility because of your great love for us to go and share that with others also. Help us to make that commitment here and now. And Father, this morning there might be some in here who don't have relationship with you. They've never put their faith and trust in you. I pray, Lord, that they would recognize that you alone are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that you alone are the satisfaction of God's wrath, that you alone are the only way to forgiveness and eternal life in heaven. God, I pray that this morning that they would put their faith and trust in you, that you died on the cross to pay the penalty for our sins, that you were buried, that you rose from the grave, proving that you have power over sin, over death, and over Satan. And that if we would simply believe, that you would forgive us. God, I pray not a single one of us would walk out of here without knowing you this morning. So friend, I'm going to ask you in the quietness of this moment without anyone looking around, the most important thing you can ever hear. Do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus? Have you put your faith and trust in Jesus alone for the forgiveness of your sins? He loves you. He died for you. Do you know him? This morning we had a beautiful picture of belief and of death and burial and resurrection in Joshua's baptism. Is that you? If you're saying, Pastor Brad, I don't know, would you come and talk to Pastor Josh or myself in just a moment when we stand to sing? We would love to share with you how you can know for sure that your sins are forgiven. Second question, believer, are you ready and are you a witness? We have a job to do. We need to be ready for what's coming next. We do that by spending time with him and sharing the good news of him. Would you commit this morning to getting ready to being a witness? Father, may we walk in obedience, not just in this moment, but in the days and weeks and months and years to come. Father, I pray this morning that you would draw sinners to yourself, that you would cause those of us who are believers to walk forward in obedience to the next step you have for us, whatever that may be. So God, I pray that you would work mightily in our midst this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.